Justification in the Bible is a judicial declaration that someone is righteous. And what do we call a judicial declaration? Well, we call it a verdict. So justification in the Bible is a verdict that someone, particularly an accused, is righteous. You can see this in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1, where the judges of Israel were charged with condemning the wicked and justifying the righteous. So the judges, when somebody was accused before them, they had two possible verdicts for an accused. They had condemnation to pronounce them guilty and justification to pronounce them innocent or righteous. Now with God, a verdict that someone is righteous is different than our American verdict that someone is not guilty. Not guilty in our legal system simply means that the evidence was not sufficient to prove the accused's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. It does not necessarily mean they are innocent. But with God, who knows all things and who always has all the evidence, a verdict that someone is righteous with regard to a particular charge is a verdict that they are innocent. And in the case of someone whose whole life is on trial, as will be the case with each of us in the final judgment, a verdict by God that someone is righteous means that they have been declared not only to be innocent of any wrongdoing, any missing of the mark, any falling short, but also to have affirmatively fulfilled what love requires in every single relationship, beginning with our relationship with God. Of course, that is not true of us in and of ourselves. It is only true of us in Christ, that is, in union with Him. And our union with Christ, as well as all of Christ's actions on our behalf, His rendering of perfect love and obedience to God the Father, even to the extent of going to the cross, His paying of the penalty for our sins, His rising from the dead in new glorified life, all of that is ours surely by God's grace, His entirely unmerited love and favor toward us. Now let me just mention an area of confusion that often comes up with the term justify or justification. Sometimes in our legal system, terms are given a technical definition or a technical meaning which differs from how we use the term in ordinary life. And you will often see ordinary citizens who are not trained in the technical meanings of the law get confused when they try to speak to legal matters. It's why we have cautioned pastors to be very, very cautious about speaking to some case in the legal system, because oftentimes the terms are used in different ways and the pastor is not aware of those differences, and it creates a minefield. But the same thing is true with systematic theology, which is the endeavor to organize, systematize, and collate the teaching of the Bible on the various topics it speaks to. So it's a very important and valid and beneficial process. But to facilitate that process, systematic theology will sometimes do what the legal system does. It will assign a technical definition to a term that may be a little broader or a little narrower than the way the term is used in the Bible. Again, we do the same thing in our legal system, so it's not illegitimate to do that. But it is important that you keep it straight. You have to keep straight the way the term is being used in the Bible and the way the term is being used in systematic theology. If you don't keep them straight, it can cause confusion. And I've even seen sometimes good Christians accuse one another of heresy because they're not keeping straight the different way the terms are used. In our systematic theology, particularly English-speaking Protestant systematic theology, going back before the Reformation and since, there is a tradition of using justification in a little broader sense than the narrow way it is used in the Bible. Specifically, there's a tradition of using justify not only to refer to God's verdict that we are righteous, but broadening it so that it also includes how we came to be righteous through Christ. And you can see this tradition in our catechism answer and this morning, Westminster Shorter Catechism number 33, which states that justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Now, the Bible teaches every bit of that, every word of that, from beginning to end. But you can see how the Westminster Confession has used justification not only to mean God's verdict that we are righteous, but the whole process, all the actions by God through Christ, by means of which we are considered righteous in Christ's name. In other words, it's broadened so that it almost becomes a synonym for salvation. Whereas in the Bible, while it clearly teaches all of those things, it uses justify and justification simply to refer to God's verdict that we are righteous, not the whole process of how we are considered righteous through the work and the person of Christ. And let me give you an example of this, which drives this point home. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul says that in Christ, God was manifested in the flesh, that's the incarnation, and justified in the spirit, that's the resurrection. Paul says the resurrection of Christ was the justification of Christ. Well, the resurrection, that makes sense, you see, if the resurrection is the Father's verdict that Jesus was righteous. But it makes no sense to say that Jesus was pardoned of his sins and accepted as righteous in God's sight by the imputation of somebody else's righteousness by faith alone. See, none of that would apply to Jesus. But Paul says Jesus was justified in the resurrection. So if you broaden justification to include pardon of sins and so forth, Paul could not say that Jesus was justified. But Paul says that he was justified because he is using the word in the more narrow way the Bible does, which means simply the verdict of righteousness. So make sure you keep these different definitions straight, the different way the term is being used. One's a little broader, the way we use it in our systematic theology. The other one is more narrow, which is the way it's used in the Bible. Just keep them straight and you won't get confused. And you'll be in a position also to help other Christians who may be confused about this point.